T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And don't forget, we have a pair of Winter Classic tickets to give away before we get out of here. I believe you'll be able to sit with David.
Yeah, maybe so.
You're going.
January 1st.
Who knows?
Notre Dame Stadium.
That's pretty awesome. He's a football man for the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station, and a dear and valued friend. Big Z!
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
You are the man, Brad, and this game is an important one. We were talking about it earlier, just as a measuring stick. You know, and I'd be curious to get your take on this. I know how good the Saints are and the Rams are. I understand what is in the AFC, and I think we have a sense of about 6 or 7 teams. But the Bears, I don't know if they're a tier below, a tier above some of these other teams. I think we're going to learn more about them and how that defense stacks up.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bears go out and perform to the level that I think we all believe they're capable of, you know, we could find out that they're at that tier when they're at their best. And, you know, fortunately, they've got this game at home. They're going to have the crowd behind them. And, you know, the Rams, obviously the best record in the league, the only blemish, a 45-35 shootout loss at New Orleans, I believe it was back on November 4th. But you look at a lot of these other games, and some of these games have been really close that they've played in. And I'm not talking about just the Chiefs. I'm talking about, you know, some of the opponents they've encountered that haven't been quite as talented. So they're not steamrolling people necessarily on a week-to-week basis, and the Bears very much have an opportunity here if they can take a couple punches from that Rams offense and punch back, I think, with their defense.
All right, Brad, you like to list your weekly power rankings in terms of team strength. How about in terms of scheme strength on Sunday night? We got 4 really distinct schemes. You've got Wade Phillips' defense. You've got Vic Fangio's defense. You've got Sean McVay's, you know, expertise, and obviously Matt Nagy's innovation and offensive scheme. If you had to rank 1 through 4 the impact each scheme will have on the game, how would you do it?
Well, I think it's tough to be a whole lot better than that Rams offense right now, right? You know, and they've done it for a little while, and the Bears defense hasn't been at its peak level, so to speak, the last couple of weeks. So I think you'd put the Rams offense certainly first. You'd put the Bears defense second. And then after that, maybe that's what determines this game.
Yep.
Who's better, the Bears offense or the Rams defense? Rams defense, they thought they were going to have an all-world secondary when they made trades to acquire Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib at cornerback. They re-signed their nickel guy. They franchise-tagged LaMarcus Joyner, the safety, and that just hasn't happened. Now, they've had some injuries. Talib came back last week, so he should be closer to full strength this week. Aaron Donald, of course, has been all-world. We talked about it yesterday. I don't know if Sue's made quite the impact that at least Sue would envision. And they're not great off the edge. That's why they traded for Dante Fowler, the former first-round pick in Jacksonville. And they're not great at the linebacker position. They've got some young guys there. The reality is you can't pay everyone at every position. So I think it's going to be really interesting for Mitch Trubisky and the Bears offense, especially in a game where, at least going in, I think everybody feels like the Bears are going to have to score, I mean, what, high 20s to win this, at least?
At least.
So that's what makes this really interesting. And then special teams will be a huge part of this game as well. The Rams have been outstanding in that area, really going back to when Jeff Fisher was the coach, and their punter, Johnny Hecker, is absolutely as good as it gets. Nobody runs more fake punts than the Rams because Hecker, I believe he serves as their emergency quarterback. Like he can legitimately throw the football. I've had one coach tell me that every once in a while in the offseason they let him jump in and do some 7-on-7 because that would keep him sharp for throwing passes when he's out there as the punter and give him a little bit of work for that emergency quarterback role. But he can throw the football that well.
Let's turn it around and talk about what challenged the Bears out of the Rams. The Rams have played a first-place schedule. They played some good teams. They played some good defenses. But the Bears, when you break down the numbers, they are pretty good at everything, and maybe the best thing they do is in pass defense. They really, you know, they're 21 interceptions leads the league, and they're holding opponents to 78.5 passer rating.
First,
they're getting
top
after
in the league. Yeah.
Yeah, best in the league. So, you know, we know Goff is 30 points lower on the road than he is at home.
Yeah.
Where do you have to have him in terms of his passer rating, and where does Mitch have to be in order to win the game? Is there any formula to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, passer rating, the number one thing that's going to move the needle on that is
interceptions.
Yeah. So you've got to be on your P's and Q's there. But, yeah, the Bears' pass defense, you know, I had a question in my mailbag this week where a guy was disappointed that the number of really easy 5-yard throws the defense was allowing because they were playing off coverage and they should be playing press. And I looked at it and I said, geez, you know, they're number one in opponent's passer rating. I believe the Bears are third in the NFL in yards per attempt for the opponent. It was like 6.5 or 6.6, I want to say. And we know what the interception totals are. We know what the sack totals are. And I'm like, buddy, you know, what they're doing is actually working pretty well here. So the interesting thing, though, is Goff has been not nearly the same quarterback away from the L.A. Memorial Coliseum, and it's going to be cold Sunday night. It's not going to be snowy or anything, but it's not going to be Southern California sunshine when the Rams have to kick off the game, and maybe that gives the Bears a little bit of an advantage as well. But, you know, only the you know, Kool-Aid drinkers out there really believe that bear weather is actually an advantage.
Right. Brad, when we look at Mitch Trubisky on Sunday night, he's coming back from you know, the injury that cost him the last two games. It's been 3 weeks since his last snap in game action. You combine that with the fact that Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh inside create a huge challenge. How might that affect the game plan? Will we see more of a horizontal-type passing game early until he gets into rhythm? Will we see Mitch being a little bit more cautious in the pocket and unwilling to tuck it and run? Do you expect to see any significant difference?
I think we're going to see plenty of what you said there to start with, which is either horizontal passes are quick. They'll want to get the ball out quickly. I believe that'll happen. I think he's going to tuck it and run just as much as he has. I think that's natural instinct for him. You know, mm-hmm. They talk about what a high-level competitor he is and how much it means to him and how much he'll fight just to pick up a yard. And we've seen that. And, you know, he might need to run to avoid being hit. You know, that's the other thing. You know, you talk about, well, he can't run because he could risk injury to his shoulder. Well, if he doesn't run,
it might be a bigger risk.
Yeah, that could be a much bigger risk. You know, because if he takes off and runs, maybe it's a matter of a safety or a linebacker making contact with him at the end of a play. If he doesn't take off and run, maybe he's buried by Sue and Donald.
All right, here's the moment of truth. Who do you like and why?
I picked the Rams to win the game, guys. You know,
they're lousy.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're a year ahead of the Bears in terms of being in their program and where they're at. They've got more weapons, I think, or more variety right now on offense. You know, they've got a running back that, when they want to commit to the run, can, you know, run it right down your throat, and that's Todd Gurley. The Bears currently lack that on their offense. So I picked LA 31-24, but I've been looking forward to this game for 2 months, guys. I think it's really going to be interesting.
Did you have a score? Did you give?
Yeah, 31-24.
So what is the spread? Is that over? I mean, that's a lot of points.
But yeah, it is a lot of points.
I think it's going to be the same way, Brad. I said 31-27. I think the defenses are going to make, you know, big plays. They're going to have an impact, but I think these two offenses are going to get it done.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think if Vic Fangio, if he can go into this game feeling like he could hold them under 25, I think you'd have to really like the Bears' chances to win this game. But that's a tall order against this team. You know, they pass protect pretty well on Goff. They're missing Cooper Kupp. He brought a lot to that offense.
Did.
The wide receiver had a real connection with Jared Goff. But this is going to be really interesting. And then I talked about it earlier in the week. The one thing that I think everyone around the league sort of looking at here is, will LA get it figured out on defense? Because you figured, you know, with superstars at least at the first level on the line and in the secondary, not necessarily a linebacker, that was going to be a scary, scary defense for Wade Phillips, especially when it can play with a lead. And the Rams have had plenty of leads to play with this season, but it hasn't quite happened yet. And you certainly hope they don't get it figured out by Sunday night anyway.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. See you Sunday.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, Tribune football man. And, interesting.
31-24, he says.
Did you – and that's the over. Did you see Wade Phillips came out yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
And
just that's awesome.
He trolled his head coach there, Sean McVay, rattling off the name of every offensive starter. I thought that was hysterical.
Well, the funniest part was when he got to the Bears quarterbacks and he called them Trubinsky and Daniels.
He said Trubinsky. Yeah.
Trubinsky.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, Chicago. Robinson, Gabriel, Miller, the wide receivers. Burton's a tight end. The tackles are Massey and Leno. The guards are Weissman and Daniels. The center's white hair. Quarterbacks, Trubinsky, and backup quarterbacks, Chase Daniels. Running backs are Howard and Cohen. So got that cleared.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Trubinsky.
That was
Trubinsky's
Wade Phillips, Rams defensive coordinator, and he will hang up and listen for his answer.
Son
Chase
of a bum.
Chase Daniels.
On Twitter, right?
Son of a bum, yeah.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
71-year-old curmudgeon.
But what's awesome about it is he's, the thing we talked about yesterday at the end of the show, the fact that Sean McVay went through the list of Bears defenders that gave a scouting report on everyone, and that became a real hot topic on Twitter. Everybody was retweeting it, and obviously someone told Wade, so he came out and rattled off the name of every Bears starter, including Trubinsky. That's hysterical.
It is hysterical.
His head coach. It's hilarious.
And when you've lost one game all season, you can have some fun.
Have a good time.
It's a very good atmosphere in L.A.
And yeah.
They're coming in Sunday night. That's going to be a great matchup between Wade Phillips' defense and the young guy Vic Fangio's defense, because compared to Wade Phillips, he's the young guy.
Oh.
Wade Phillips, 71 years old. Well, yesterday at Hallis Hall, Trey Burton who was the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee from the Chicago Bears, and has just made a tremendous impact on the community since coming to the Bears from the Eagles.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Mm-hmm. What struck me yesterday was he was talking about his role in the Philly special, the Super Bowl play where he threw the touchdown pass, and one of the more iconic plays in Super Bowl history because of what it led to and when it came, and it was just great. And obviously the Bears have their version, and we saw it with Tariq Cohen hitting Anthony Miller in the end zone, and that was a huge play last week against the Giants. It stunned me. Maybe that's overstating it. It really was surprising to me that Trey Burton acknowledged that he couldn't do that here, that he was supposed to be the guy who threw the pass in the Bears version of the Philly special. And anxiety got the best of him. Quote, "Honestly, when they put it in on the board, I got crazy anxiety. I was kind of freaking out a little bit just because of a ton of unbelievable memories come back to mind from the Super Bowl. I just couldn't. Physically, there was some type of block that wasn't letting me do it."
Wow.
So, great honesty, great self-awareness.
Scary honesty.
Very interesting to hear that reason offered why he was the guy. He was they handed off to Trey Burton. He flipped it to Cohen, and Cohen threw the pass, not the former college quarterback.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I got to be honest with you. I hate anxiety, confidence issues with pro athletes. They just scare the hell out of me. And you know, people say things like, "Oh, he's got the yips."
That's why it stood out.
And that, I mean,
he was very open about it.
I know, but I that bothers me. The yips bothers me. So, I don't know how to deal with it.
So right now, I have this image of Trey Burton standing alone in the end zone. And the Bears running this misdirection. He's wide open. He's waiting on this pass, and all he's doing is thinking about how anxious he feels about his ability to catch it.
That disturbs me. That disturbs me. There's no way around it. I don't understand it. So I want to kill it. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I don't. It's beyond my comprehension. I get nerves, but to have pre-nerve jitters, Do you know what I'm saying? Like to feel immobilized by something like that is disturbing to me. And it's, we see it in pro athletes all the time. And it's so strange. It's Charles Barkley's golf swing.
So we put him on a pedestal to think that they're not going through that sort of, anxiety. They're not processing that in a way that paralyzes them. And it paralyze them.
Yeah. Doesn't that bother you a little bit?
You
find it amusing?
I find it a little amusing.
Okay.
I find it more amusing than alarming.
Bothersome than anything else.
Yeah, I am not.
I just want everyone to have full confidence because I honestly believe self-belief is a huge part of it.
If he was a guy that was, had underachieved this year or was coming into not living up to that contract, I would start to connect the dots like, okay, if this guy's afraid to throw a pass in a big moment, he must be worried about the contract and what he's getting paid, and that's what's keeping him back, All sorts of things. Sometimes the most self-aware athletes are the ones you do worry about the most because they know what they're not doing. They know how much is riding on that throw or that shot or this at bat, that pitch. It's like what they don't know can't hurt them, and that they are aware of everything riding on this, like he obviously was. In his mind, it sounds like he knew that no matter what he does on that play, it's not going to be better than what he did at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to, and he froze.
Yeah, that's bothersome to me. It just bothers me. I don't know why. I'm not trying to, I'm not dissing him or anything else. It's just like, I worry about that, David. It doesn't appeal to me in any way. And I honestly, why even bring it up? Maybe he was asked a question, why weren't you involved in that? And to be honest with you.
Well, I'm sure that one.
I would literally say to the guy, please don't be honest with me. Here, first text, Mully, you're an idiot. Anxiety is a legitimate issue. It bothers you? Got to be kidding me. Anxiety will absolutely debilitate you. That's why it bothers me. It's upsetting because it's really something. You need to play mental tricks on yourself to keep yourself from feeling anxiety.
Is that you coaching? Can you coach that?
You can. Life coach it. You can.
Well, yeah. But if you're a football coach, do you want to hear your player acknowledge anxiety publicly?
I think.
Does it matter?
If you're Kevin Love and you're so frozen, you have a panic attack during a game and you have to come out, it's good to admit it because other people that feel that will understand it. But I just don't know if it's almost like giving into it prevents you from doing it. You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, and I think it's a fascinating idea because you look at Trey Burton acknowledged this publicly in a sort of a good-natured, lighthearted way. Markelle Fultz for the 76ers is a guy who was a number one overall draft pick who has been dealing with things similar. And by similar, I mean a mental block that's preventing him from being physically dominant and being as athletic and as good of a player as he could be, as he's gifted to be. So, yeah, I mean, it's not something to dismiss necessarily, but it's fascinating to have somebody as open as Trey Burton was because of what you're describing.
I think part of the problem
is people will hear it and think, "Oh no,
no," and I'm not dismissing it. I just think that okay. I remember talking to Dave Tobe one time. Is it Paul Edinger was the little kicker that had the corkscrew attempts, right?
Right.
So he goes off the boil. He just suddenly is struggling kicking the ball. And I talked to Dave about it, and Dave said part of the problem is that his style is so unique, you don't know how to fix it. So you go back and you try to break down tape and see exactly what's he doing different than he was doing because you don't teach that technique. So it's really hard to repair that technique. And I think that the problem with the yips, let's call it, Chuck Knobloch can't throw from second base to first
base.
Steve Sachs went through the same problem.
John Lester.
Who was the guy? John Lester's a great example.
I was just going to say, Mully, now I know why the Lester thing has bothered you so much.
It did bother me. Yeah. And I think the reason is, Joe, I'm not sure you can coach that. I think you have to kind of get psychiatric help with that. I think that's a different... It's a different animal than coaches are used to. Therefore, they don't know how to do it. So that's why it bothers me. That's why it worries me. It would be a better way of saying it because I'm not sure, David, that you can fix it with coaching. I think it might take more like little mental trick type stuff.
That's a very good point. But right now, Matt Nagy did sort of coach around it by changing the play and the responsibilities.
Right.
So he had to coach away from it.
Right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Joe Fortenbaugh, the man who lives the dream in Vegas, our man in Vegas, and of course, by way of San Francisco, it's very complicated. 95.7 The Game. In the San Francisco area, Sharp 600 podcast, always a must listen to, and Joe is the man. Good morning, Joe!
Morning, Joe. Congratulations.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's great to be back with you after a few week hiatus. No matter what, come hell or high water, I would have been on this week. Bears, Rams, Sunday night, couldn't miss the opportunity. But yes, very happy to welcome Wyatt Allen Fortenbaugh to the world last week. Fun fact, I now have two boys. Both were born on the day of a Golden State Warriors game. Both nights, the Warriors covered the point spread. Now, last week, they lost to Toronto, but they covered the 9. My oldest was born when they were laying 7.5 against the Clippers. They covered that one with no problem whatsoever. So I'm trying to convince my wife to start having about 41 to 42 kids per year so we can really get the profits coming in.
41.5.
Yeah. Is there a way we can get it in for all home games in the near future, please?
Yeah. I don't think Will Chamberlain could operate at that rate, Joe, sadly.
No. And the beauty of being a dad is your wife looking at you before, during, and after childbirth. Just the hatred she has for you for what you have done to her and how she is putting in all this work as you're sitting there really just thinking about how you're going to take a picture and put it on Facebook, hand out some cigars, and accept all the congratulations.
I in the old days, the man would like wait at the pub and get a phone call that the child was born. And I think that might have been better because I don't think I've ever been through anything in my life. I mean, it's glorious and wondrous and all that, but I am quite useless at many things, but just being like breathe hun or
helpless feeling.
What do you do? Yeah. I mean, everything you've ever learned, everything you know, absolutely worthless in those moments.
That is the best word to use. I learned that with the birth of my first son, and then again last week, absolutely and utterly useless. And even now, he's a week old, but what am I going to do? If he needs to be fed, I can't handle that. If he needs to be changed, it's complete panic because he's so fragile, I feel like I'm going to screw something up. It's a disaster, but it's a beautiful disaster nonetheless.
Yeah. Oh, it's a happy, joyous occasion. Let's get to more happiness and fun. We should tell you that this segment with Joe – brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. What are you looking at to bet, my friend?
The Bears and the Rams are on the list, so we'll save that one for the end as we work our way through the picks. Let's start with let's go ahead and start with the Packers and the Falcons. Green Bay laying 5 in this spot. So there's one of two ways this could go. Mike McCarthy gets fired this past week. And in the past, we've seen coaches fired midway through the season, and we've seen the team completely implode. Then on the other end of the equation, we've seen scenarios where coaches have been replaced. The team kind of shoulders some of the burden for that. They feel bad about it. You'll see this in baseball all the time when hitting coaches are fired. You know, you'll get a big night from the bats the next night out. I'm of the belief that Aaron Rodgers is well aware of the fact that his reputation's headed in the wrong direction. You know, just a couple years ago, we were talking about this guy being – one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And now it's like, you know, is he a coach killer? Maybe that's a bit extreme, but he wasn't getting along with McCarthy. And the next guy up, that's going to have to work, because if it doesn't, then the situation starts to point towards Rodgers being part of the problem. And that Winston Moss tweet, the former Packer associate head coach, who says the next head coach has to hold him accountable, I think that speaks volumes to how he's viewed in that locker room. So I think this is going to be a big game from Rodgers. That's the way I'm going to side with it. I think you're going to get a spirited effort from Rodgers. And on the flip side, the Falcons, 1-4 straight up, 1-4 on the road this season. They've lost by 6, 24, 14, and 12 on the road. It's going to be a cold game, high of 24 degrees Sunday. This is a dome team coming outdoors. A lot to like here. I think the Packers in a 6-point teaser play are going to be popular. I'll lay the points with Green Bay as well. Game number 2, Kansas City and Baltimore. The over-under here is 51.5. I'm going to play the under. Now, I will share this. I think some of the sharper guys in Vegas are going to be playing the Ravens in this spot. I'm not picking a side. I will play the under on the total. We all know Kansas City as having one of, if not the most prolific offenses in the league. But one thing people don't realize, the under is 4-1 in Kansas City's 5 home games this season. That total has skyrocketed ever since we watched them in week 1 blow out the Chargers in Los Angeles. So we see the offense. The public loves to bet offense, but very quietly, the under keeps cashing in these Kansas City home games. Not only that, the under is 22-3 in Kansas City home games over the last 5 years when the total is lined at 42 or higher. So you take that, you combine it with the fact that Baltimore has the league's top-rated total defense, top-rated scoring defense, and they're probably going to want to establish the run, play some conservative football, keep it away from Patrick Mahomes here, going to play under the total of 51.5 Kansas City-Baltimore. Game number 3, Indianapolis plus 4.5 at Houston. Now, Houston has won 9 straight. 9 straight. And the last time we saw Indy, they were getting blanked 6-0 at Jacksonville. So you're telling me the Texans are only laying 4.5 in this spot? That is a huge red flag. Think about it. You're going to get 3 points for home field advantage. So if this game was in Indy, what would this spread be? If you flip it 6, you'd make Indy a 1.5-point favorite over a team that's won 9 straight. I'm not buying this. And the point spread's moving in the Colts' favor as well. This was as high as 5, maybe as high as 5.5. It's now down to 4.5. I see this as a situation where the line itself is screaming, bet the Colts, bet the Colts. I think the public's going to be all over Houston here. I think the sharps and the wise guys, they're going to want to play the Colts. I'll take the 4.5 with Andrew Luck in a bounce-back spot. Miami plus 7.5 against New England. Most of your listeners, very savvy individuals, they probably already know this play. They don't need me to lay it out for them. But New England has won the AFC East 14 of the last 15 years. They dominate the competition. But Brady in Miami, it doesn't mix. It's oil and water. 7-9 lifetime straight up at South Beach. 15 interceptions in those six career games. Last year, if you remember, the Patriots were riding an eight-game winning streak, went to Miami for a Monday Night Football game, fell flat on their face, and lost 27-20. They've only covered 1 point spread in their last six trips to Miami. I'll take the 7.5 with the Dolphins against the Patriots. Moving to some of the afternoon games here, Arizona +3 against Detroit. This is more a play against Detroit than it is on Arizona. I'd love to give you a reason why I like Arizona here. I don't. I really don't like Arizona. I just hate Detroit in this spot. Here's the kicker. They were 3-3 this season. They had a little something going on. They've lost 5 of 6, and they're about to hit the road for 3 of their final 4 games. They just had this nice little 3-game home stretch. They only won 1 game. They're pretty much out of contention as they can see it. Not mathematically, of course, but here's the kicker. The Lions are 8-19 against the spread over their last 27 December games. They're a team that fades late. But then you get to this. Since the 1970 merger, Detroit is an NFL worst 13-46 when they're playing in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. So when these guys head west, 13-46 straight up playing in the Mountain and Pacific time zones since the 1970 merger. I don't know what the problem is, but I know that it's not a good thing for the Lions. You get a home team catching a field goal in this spot. Give me the Cardinals. Now, if you guys are ready to jump into the Bears, fire away, because we could devote some time to this one.
Well, we've got to get to it, because I got to tell you, Joe, it needs to be played earlier, not just for the sake of us getting up. But
and Brad Biggs and I both are looking at this as a high-scoring game, maybe taking the over, because I just think these offenses are going to get it done.
There's a lot to look at here. There's a lot to look at here. I mean, obviously, you guys have probably spent the entire week on this. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about how great Aaron Donald is. All right, we know that. We're going to talk about how great the Bears' defense is. We know that. We're going to talk about Sean McVay, Jared Goff, and the Rams' offense. Everybody knows all that stuff. Where it gets interesting is how much you factor in home field advantage. Sunday night game, Soldier Field. The weather is not going to be cooperating with how Jared Goff grew up. Remember, he's from Marin County, right here in my backyard, played his college football at Cal, very temperate climates, and then he's playing with the Rams. This is a big step up in class in a hostile environment for a team that last week looked a little bit shaky at Detroit, let's be honest. Now, the Bears had their own problems in New York against the Giants. We don't need to relive that. But the real question comes down to how Nagy wants to attack this defense. Everyone talks about Aaron Donald and Wade Phillips. These guys aren't as good as we believe they are. You go through all the metrics and numbers. Donald's a beast. Sue has had a great career. But this defense isn't nearly as talented and nearly as, you know, stalwart as we originally thought at the beginning of the season. The Bears' defense handles their business. Trubisky's not going to need to make a ton of plays to win this game, in my opinion. I really do believe that, because this Rams team has been gashed time and time again. I'm watching them weekly, either they're in my teasers or not. I've got a good look at them. You can beat these guys. But this has got to be a week where the Bears focus on that New England tape. They have got to show that New England tape to the roster and say, this is a game that's going to be won in the margins. You cannot have meltdowns on special teams. You cannot give up touchdowns from the offensive side of the ball to the defense. You've got to be buttoned up. You've got to pay attention to detail. You've got to control the nuance. And if you do that, catching 3 points at home is something I really like here. This isn't a game I love, but I will take the Bears plus the points. Primetime games where the home team's catching a field goal and I get all that defense, I'll play it. Remember, the Rams have been overvalued. They've covered the spread in just 2 of their last 9. Everyone loves them, but that means everyone in the public's betting them. Meanwhile, the Bears, 15-5-1 against the spread over the last 21 home games at Soldier Field. I'll take the Bears in the field goal here.
Huh. That's fantastic. All right, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy the game, boys. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
And congrats again for Wyatt. That's great stuff. But Joe is
cool name.
Yeah, it's a cool name. And, you know, you clean up your town if you need a sheriff. Love that name. All right. We've got we got a little something for you. We got something special. You're going to want to stick around. Really something special. Can we say that?
I think so.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.